they rush for their flights. I hope your flights are later than 6 o'clock. They are after 6, eh?
How do I get out?
Thank you. Because we may detain you until 5, if not 6. Thank you very much again, members. I think we had a very good session from this morning. And this is our last entity for today. There are very many issues in this entity to deal with. So we need a little bit of time with them so that when you go there early May, because from the 2nd to the 4th of May, we'll do the oversight, and FPB is part of that. Which day from the 2nd to the 4th, we're not sure of those details, but they will be informed. Because that will be MDDA and FPB. So welcome again, Chair of FPB and your team. Well, of course, Deputy Minister and your team, we are ready to listen to the presentation of APPs so that we know exactly what we are up to as this committee. At a particular stage, after three members can grab tea, I'm sure things are made easy for you at the back, so when you feel like having tea, you'll have to go back to the back. Get a cup of tea and then whack. Now I hand over to you, Deputy Minister, so that you can instruct your team after your input.
Chairperson, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I note your comments when you opened our meeting that there's quite a number of things that you want us to clarify going forward. Not only for today, but as you play your oversight, including the visitation that's going to happen. The Film and Publication Board is ready to present to the Portfolio Committee on Communications, the APP, and this is a board that is responsible, amongst other things, to look at classification of content in the industry without limiting the industry and role players on the area of freedom of speech, but also ensuring that as those rights are executed or observed, they do not harm or infringe on other people's rights, particularly the rights of children. Of course, Chair, you'll also look at how we have been performing through this entity, including how the entity has been performing from the AG's point of view and how we plan towards making sure that we improve on some of the findings that the AG has made and making sure that we keep up or improve for the better in all those things that we'll be dealing with in our programs. I think one of the things, as we'll be presenting, Chair, we'll also look at how far the process is on the amendment of the bill, the FPB bill. I know the process is now towards the NCOP, but there are areas which we learned lessons from the Nqeba process, which will also have a bearing on how we improve on our guidelines, including working towards bringing up regulations, because currently we don't have regulations to that effect. So there's quite a number of things that they will also indicate as they present, including how we are also taking care of DEFSA inputs, because DEFSA it's an institution of deaf people who also raised their concerns around some of the films and how they are excluded in this industry, and what is it that as government we can intervene on. So I will allow Chair, the chairperson, to introduce her team, and like other boards, indicate the apologies, and then be able to present together with the acting CEO. I think one of the things that you'll also look at is how do we stabilize administration in FPB as well. Sure.
Over to you, Chair of FPB.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, good afternoon. We appreciate the opportunity to present before the Portfolio Committee our 2018-19 APP, as well as other matters that were raised that include the 2016-2017 audit outcomes and the issues that arose from that, as well as matters that were raised in 2017 when the Portfolio Committee had an oversight at the Film and Publication Board. I would like to express to the Portfolio Committee our apology on behalf of our Deputy Chair, who has been here with us. He has taken ill. He's actually at the clinic downstairs. She didn't want to leave, and we've had to beg her to take care of her health. We also have here Mr. Ditlake, who is our chair of our finance committee, seeing that we also have to have him around to deal with matters financial. We have our acting CEO, who has been kindly seconded to us from the department, Mr. Nene. Excuse me, we also have our acting COO, Chief Operation Officer, Ms. May, sitting there. We have got our acting Chief Information Officer, Mr. Koza, and our acting Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Matiza. We want to assure the committee that the Hollywood will end quite soon. We promise we are working on it. The report will be presented here. It's in our report. We also just want to also express that we are continuously dealing with matters that are raised by the Portfolio Committee in all our previous engagements. And as we deal with all those matters, we are also confronted in our work with issues of social cohesion that are related to the work that we do of classification. And we think that that's why the Deputy Minister was also raising the issue of probably other legislative issues that may have to be tabled going forward. And to also say that what is going to be major in the current and the next, as we finish the year and we continue, will be our consultation on our guidelines, as well as the issue of tariffs once the legislation is passed. So at this point, we want to assure the Portfolio Committee that we consulted internally and our stakeholders widely on our APP process, because the industry has got to also, and our stakeholders have got to also be involved in the process of the development of our APP. I would like to hand over at this point then to our CEO to immediately deal with the presentation before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, members and colleagues from the DOCs. We are going to present our APP, Chairperson, as you understand. Maybe the take-home for us would be our online content classification system that we are going to be implementing. We are not only responding to the NDP in terms of improving the ease of doing business, but internationally the standard is that you can now submit content anywhere, everywhere, without being limited in terms of the office hours. We have prepared that. For us, that's part of our response to the fourth industrial revolution that is taking place. The benefits of that, Chairperson, is that we would be bound by between 24 hours to 48 hours in terms of our release, the classification decision, from the time the content is submitted to the decision that would have taken by that. So it also says in terms of the mindset, it would have to change from our side. We are also, Chairperson, looking at some of the legislations which are amended, which have impact in the work that FPP does, the copyright amendment bill, as well as the hate speech bill. But before, Chair, we go on with our presentation, we would want to respond to what was raised in terms of the outline of our presentation. There's something that I don't know how to remove it from here. This side. Yeah, okay. That black thing. It's a. Well, I see a black from it. Okay. But is it? Okay. If I may proceed, Chair, we've broken our presentation into four different components. The first is when we appeared before the committee last year, the committee raised issues which I suppose we need to respond to those. Secondly, the committee visited us last year to conduct oversight. Issues were raised by members of staff and we also need to give a progress report. And then the third component of our presentation is to how far are we in terms of implementing issues that were raised to us by the Auditor General of South Africa. So those are the elements, and then thereafter we are going to start with our presentation, our APP presentation. Just on the update, there were issues raised, and then I'll just run through it, Chairperson, owing to time. One of the issues that were raised with us, which was also confirmed by the AG, was that some of our targets were obviously ambiguous, and there were certain targets which did not tie in with some of the key performance indicators and some of the key result areas. So what we've done is that we've cleansed the system. We've taken part of the operational targets, and these have been deferred to different business units because they were operational targets in any event. But what we've also done with the assistance of AG, you will see that in the main, most of our you'll see the outcome-based language in our APP, which again falls in line with the SMART target. And then the further action is that we are going to be implementing those. The second issue that was raised was the resignation of the executives, the resignations of top management with us. Like the Chairperson and the DMS raised the issue. In all the three positions, we are ready to make appointments on the 1st of June. It could be sooner, but in terms of our target, this is where we are. These are the Chief Operations Officer, the Shared Service Executive, and the CFO. So by June, you would have an executive. But again, there are certain positions that we've been able to fill. For instance, the our legal unit is now going to be fully operational, as opposed to what transpired before. Thirdly, there are also issues that were raised that in terms of our employment equity targets, we are also not employing people living with disabilities. So in our action plan, we've made sure that five disabled persons have been employed in the pool of our classifiers. We have an administrator who's in our regional office, which again says to us we've now overachieved the target. But in terms of the employment equity target at senior management level, executive level, those are some of the issues that we are trying to address because we are lacking particularly around colored, around Indian. So during the process of shortlisting and interviewing, we made sure that all our candidates were, interviewed along the lines of us trying to fill those positions. We were mindful of the fact that as much as we're looking for the race that we're lacking in, but it should not, and it was not going to compromise the quality of the candidate. There was also issues around the intergovernmental relations or intergovernmental collaboration that we need to work with. We have, Chairperson, I think if the committee may, one day we'll come and present our collaboration with the law enforcement agencies, because we do work with the SAPS, for instance, in terms of, one, the workshops that we provide, so that when they apprehend someone, whether it's a street vendor through our raids, they use the correct application in terms of the provisions that are set out in our laws. Secondly, when we do raids with them in all our outlets, we work with them. In terms of the Department of Basic Education, we have now developed a life orientation manual around the work that we do. We work with them in terms of the child safety online and then a number of public education workshop and public awareness activities that we have with them. We are now working with the Deaf SA. They've given us a database of 42 schools, because part of the problem is that how do we make sure that when we conduct public awareness, we are also targeting those who are disabled, because they've got parents, and also the fact that they are children who are disabled, and those children must also be protected in terms of some of the consumer advice that we are obligated to offer. But secondly, in terms of the classification decisions that we do. We generally would also work with the GCIS, and then we also work with the our sister entity, SABC. There was also an observation by the committee that we lack in terms of visibility in communities. And then what we've begun to do is that at the risk of trying to spread ourselves too thin, we are now working with different NGOs where there are targeted sessions with industry, with members of the public, with everybody. So those are the things that we've done. If I move on, Chair, that there were certain issues that were raised by our staff members with you when you visited us. One of those, they were complaining about the salaries, that there's a mismatch between what we offer to those of other DOC entities. We have done a benchmark exercise, and it was tabled, and then we now need to engage with Minister. Our Council needs to engage with the Minister. Precisely because if you look at our finance and our budget, we are almost at 60% in terms of the salaries. So we need more. There were also issues that were raised where, for instance, 11 of our employees requested job grading, and this was also requested equally by the union. What we've done as management is that we've taken a decision that we need to then ask ourselves, what is the future of HPB? Do we have the correct structure? Do we have the correct skill set, both from a financial perspective to a human a perspective? Reality of it is that this is what we have now agreed, that we are going to do an OD exercise. The union have been consulted. In fact, they are part of the team that is conducting the OD exercise. Because whatever structure that we have and the structure that's going to be put up, it needs to be a futuristic structure, a structure that says 20 years from now, what is the future of FPB? I mean, then the world of drones, where somebody can just fly drones on your house and do virtual tours. And if they find content, what happens? In the world of Internet of Things, where do we feature? In the world of cybersecurity and all of those things, those are some of the things that the OD exercise will also point us towards the correct direction as we move forward. There was also an issue in terms of employment equity. I've raised this thing where, for instance, we are not matching the Department of Labor benchmark, but we have targeted employees where we've made appointments. The issue of upskilling of existing employees was also raised, and we've also indicated in terms of the amount that we are investing on our employees. However, it must be noted that part of the problem that employees are raising, and this is something that we have accepted, that because we have a flat structure, whatever money that we put towards the educational assistant, we are unable to then get the benefits or derive the benefits from those. And there were also three positions that were proposed, and again, these things have also been incorporated to the OD exercise that we've set ourselves to achieve in the next 6 months. And again, the lack of opportunity is something that I've spoken to, that the only education assistant that you don't offer is to full-time contract as well as those on probation, but usually we have. But what we've since done is that we are not just providing educational assistance. We are now looking at the career development framework. We're also looking at the fact that because these are the things that we did not have, we send someone to an educational program or university, but then we sit with the person that we cannot utilize the skills. And for us, we've done now we are starting with our HR, where we're reviewing all our HR policies so that some of these things are addressed from a policy, from an implementation perspective. There was also an issue which was raised by the committee, by our compliance officers, those guys who are doing raids, whether in our taxi ranks, and we must say, members, it's quite very dangerous. That raised the issue about using branded FPB cars, and that from time to time they are attacked. We conducted the security assessment, and then indeed we have... We are now implementing the resolutions. What the resolution says is that we need to have stickers that are removable so that if they go out to the field for their compliance officer activities, they are not using our branded cars, but then we can also put the sticker back. Those are the things that we have done. And the second last issues were related to, for instance, the inconsistency in tax and other deductions. We have picked up that we had 18 employees that would, unfortunately, due to an error made from our system, they were unable to contribute to their medical aid fund as well as their pension fund. So we have consulted with them, we sought legal advice, and then we, just to cut it short, we're at the stage where they have signed an agreement, and then they are repaying back the amount, which is just 578,000 in total, including one person, for instance. There are only two. The one person who had left FPB has also committed in writing in terms of the contract that they will also be repaying the amount, obviously using the investments that they have. At the same time, we're also starting the consequence management process, because we need to be seen to be doing both. Those who need to be to repay the amount, and obviously to try and cleanse the system in terms of what would have happened. And we are working with this process. Members, we are working with the SARS, and we are also working with different stakeholders in terms of cleansing this process. Of course, then there was an issue raised about salaries that were not paid on time. This has been resolved. It was due to a technical issue that was beyond our control, but it was from the side of the bank. We've since developed implemented a different activation program that says instead of the 24th of every month, we are now doing the reconciliation on the 23rd, just so that we are able to make sure that these gaps that would have existed before do not. In terms of the complaints that you received was that staff members were ignored when they raised issues with us. We have now a communication plan which we have with them. We are communicating with them on a quarterly basis. We have, in fact, even invited in different sessions, including the session of overpayment, that there is a communication person that after every meeting they are able to get the decisions that would have been taken by the staff. And then the structure of the organization being fragmented, we have accepted that. That's why it is part of the OD process. Chair, on this point, I will ask the acting CFO to do the audit, and then I'll come back.
Thanks, CEO. Greetings to the Honourable Chairperson and the Honourable Members, the DM and the DOC colleagues, as well as the Council. In terms of the issues that has been raised by AEG for 16-17 financial year, it was 8 issues, and then out of the 8 issues, 1 was critical, which contributed to the financial results or audit being unqualified and not a clean audit. And we also have 6 other important matters, and also 1 which is an admin matter. Chairperson, I can say that we have managed to resolve all the issues. They are currently sitting at 100% resolved. I will start with the first issue, which is the critical issue that AG raised. It was around the APP. They felt that majority of our APP targets were not measurable and they were not relevant in a way that they are not smart, so they could not be able to audit them. So what we have done in terms of the action to resolve the finding, we have reviewed the APP in its entirety, and we have done that as EXCO, we have done that as senior managers, and also the council, and also the internal auditor was part of the review. And we then resent it to DOC for them to look at it and approve it. And now we have the revised APP that has been approved by DOC, and we have submitted it to the AG for audit for 17-18 financial year. So the matter has been resolved. And then we also have finding number 2 that related to performance indicators not talking to the performance target, and also the performance target not talking to the performance indicators. So we have done the same thing as in finding number 1. We have reviewed the entire APP to ensure that all the targets that didn't have performance indicators do have the performance indicators, and also the one that didn't have the performance target do have the performance target. And the issue has been resolved 100% as well. And the third issue, which is other important matters in terms of the classification, it was around consequence management. The AGSA felt that our theft and loss control committee that has been formed was not functional, and also the fact that we do not have the loss control register to register all the losses that we incurred for the 16-17 financial year, and also the fact that the report was not provided to them. What we have done in terms of the action, we have prepared a report that has all the incidents or the loss for the year in terms of the status to indicate where they are. And we have also had the the Theft and Loss Committee sitting in meetings to discuss all the losses that we have suffered in the year, and we have recovered some of the monies that we have lost, and we have also implemented most of the recommendation from the committee. So the target, the finding is also resolved 100%, because we do have those controls in place now. Finding number four was in relation to the policy that was outdated. We have updated the policy, and we have presented it to the council members, and they have approved it on the 2nd of March 2018. So these findings has also been resolved. Finding number five was around the HR, non-compliance with the recruitment and selection policy. It was the a qualification that was not certified by employee prior the appointment. But now what we have done as management, we have strengthened the controls and ensure that there's consistent reviews, you know, on the job application. And we ensure that all the qualifications that are submitted are certified before we appoint the person. So the finding has been resolved as well. Finding number six was in relation to the incorrect elimination of points when you do the evaluation on SCM. I think the argument was that we didn't have the testimonial or reference in writing when we were appointing one of the service providers. So what we have done now is that we actually specify on the tender or the RFI that the testimonial or the reference must be in writing, and we also confirm with the person who sent that testimonial and reference, so that we don't have the similar finding going forward. Finding number seven was in relation to the backup management. The AGSA felt that some of our backups were not stored, and some were not stored outside, in an outside location. So what we have done, we appointed the disaster recovery service provider so that they can store the data outside, so that if there's an event where there is a disaster, we are able to get the data and also continue with our day-to-day business outside the office. So the finding has been resolved 100% as well. And then the last finding, it was in relation to the absence of the server maintenance. What we have done now, we have developed the maintenance schedule, and we have also ensured that there's a new fire suppression system that has been installed. And we also have the maintenance agreement in place with the lease, with the landlord, so that they can maintain the server room accordingly. So all the findings has been resolved 100%, and that was the last finding. Back to you, CEO.
Through you, Chairperson, we are now proceeding with the APP. Chair, I'm not going to bore you with the definition of what we seek to do in all the in all our five strategic objectives. But just it's safe to then indicate that one, for program one, we are seeking industry compliance, and that's why we then speak about the online content classification system that we want, which will also improve the work that we do. For instance, under SO1, we are seeking to ensure that all the 100% legible submissions, whether it's game, films, and certain publications classified, are done. Of course, then we, only those that are legible, because there are those that would not. Like, for instance, if a person submits a content that has a child, you know, it's child sexual abuse material, which in any case that would have to take this person to task, and then we can open a criminal case against them. So that the context around legible is we are saying anything that we are able to classify is something that we are saying those. Secondly, we are saying all the we plan to have four trend analysis report in terms of our classification, submissions, and the registration. Now, it assists us in terms of saying who are the new players that are coming in the market. Are they now moving from, you know, the physical distribution to online, so that in terms of our responses as well, we are able to then respond to the industry. Those are some of the reports that we do on quarterly basis, which also assist us in terms of our response. The classification guidelines and their revised. I mean, one of the first thing that we've learned from Minxeba was, for instance, we did not have a classifiable material, whether it's C for cultural content that is offensive. So in this round of the classification guidelines, if those things are coming up from the public, because whatever we do in terms of our laws, in terms of our constitution, we must be informed by the public. Secondly, there is something that is coming up to say, most of our content, if you look at movies, they will say V for violence, whereas if you watch the actual content, it's gender violence. So those are some of the things that are going to be informing our classification guidelines as we move forward. And then we hope that by the fourth quarter, those would have been gazetted, because we had already started the process. We would also do the convergence service, which is targeting at about 9,000 respondents, and those are the things, and again, that inform the work that we do. We have focus groups to assess the implementation of our guidelines. Now, we do these things to test whether or not that the classification guidelines are what is required in terms of the social norms and values as espoused by the Constitution. On second slide, we would have four progress report on the FPB, but I need to stress not only the amendment bill. We are saying any bill that is tabled that has an impact in terms of the work that we do would also be able to do this. But of course, our main task is to ensure that our amendment bill is assented, so that we are able, through the provisions that are included there, so that we are able to deal with the OTTs. We are also able to deal in terms of the registration and the payment of tariffs of the online space. We also include the fact that we would have by year end 2,000 unregistered distributors on our physical platforms identified. We do these things, for instance, we look at the film festivals that we go and attend. Part of the challenge that we are having is that people are distributing, they're doing things, but they are not aware that one, they need to be registered. So those are the things that we are also trying to make sure, so that if, for instance, there's Cape Town Festival, Film Festival, the content that is there is classified, but secondly, people understand our role and they understand the compliance issues that are required. We also are going to be big on online inspections, because we do also conduct not just physical inspections, but we do conduct online, and these have been divided according to the four quarters. We are also planning the four rates, 48 rates. We work here with the SAPS, we also work with the National Prosecuting Authority, because in many of the material that they need, they require FPB to analyze if there are cases that they're dealing with which are before the court. So we do, because we've got three regional offices, the Cape Town Regional Office, the Gauteng, and Durban. So we'll be doing all the four the rates. We're going to take the ranks to explain our relationship with the Constitution, what is required of us, but again, to ensure that people understand that the role that we do. Because part of the bigger problem is that, especially with street vendors, when we apprehend them, the communities are up in arms. They even attack some of our guys because of the lack of understanding of the work that we do, that any pirated movie, for instance, is not. So when you do these things, we work with SAPS, so that again, in terms of the Section 24B of our Act is applied accordingly. The 100% child sexual abuse material, we'll make sure that within those 10 working days, we are able to respond. There are 7,000 inspections, and these are inspections that we do to those who are legally licensed and registered. So we do from time to time to get to the space and then do inspections. We also are going to implement a call login system to track and resolve at least 95% of the queries within the set turnaround time. This is something that we would want to do, but again, our engagement with DefSA also says to us we need to try and improve the system, learn from other countries. How do we ensure that even a person who cannot speak is able to is able to call in and then make sure that they register their own inquiries. Those are some of the things that we are doing. We would also conduct quarterly surveys to assess the quality of service that we are providing. And in terms of the quarterly respondents and the surveys, these are some of the indications that we'll be doing surveys per quarter. And then we'll do the final part of our comprehensive report that will be tabled before council will be done in the fourth quarter. The 90% of classification decision issued within working days, members, we endeavor to ensure that within 8 working days. However, in terms of our classification committee, before we release the rating decision, it has to be quality assured. So we work here, we put the 90% because we need to ensure that the decision taken by the board is quality assured. There are reports so that if anyone was to challenge our decision, they are able to get our report. And then we have the 95% registered and renewals. And within working days, these are some of the things that we'll be doing per quarter. On SO2, Chair, let me just run with it. Again, it's about public awareness and industry collaboration in the main. We have our communication plan that we are going to be implementing. And then we have different intervals in terms of the 8 interviews conducted. When we say 8, because the work and the relationship with GCIS, it can be 8 in terms of numbers, but these numbers can multiply in terms of working with the community media, working with the different regional broadcasting entities. So these are the things that we have planned. We've also planned outreach programs targeting parents, children, as well as educators, because one of the things that we need to do is to ensure that as much as we are protecting children, but we are also able to then spread the message and then also to try and educate the parent, because as FEB, we can't be in every cinema, we can't be in every DVD material or any content that's been watched. But if you empower communities, that's the best mechanism of ensuring that the mandate is implemented. We have our social media, and these are just the communications activities. Chair, if I can go to strategic outcome 3, we want to develop and maintain the organizational capacity, and I think this is where we've talked about the OD process, our organizational design and the strategy. These are the things that we'll be doing. And then, of course, then we are also looking at the fact that how do we then pay our staff members? Are we paying them well or are we not paying them well? So these are the plans that we have in terms of reviewing our current FPB remuneration strategy. And we also include change management, especially in the light of that we are going to be having new ESCO members. So these are some of the things. And then obviously the culture of the organization. We also hope to have 4 training and development activities, which we are going to do over a period of 4 quarters. One of the difficulties that we've had, especially the experience after we lost our ESCO, was the issue around the succession plan, that part of the activities is to ensure that we have coaching sessions, not only just to managers, but just to generally to employees at FEB. We also contribute towards the ICT SMMEs, and we've made sure that all at least 60% of our transactions, which are above 100%, are allocated to those who are at BEE level, triple BEE level 3. And obviously, these are, we submit these reports on a quarterly basis to the board for oversight. We have had an issue because FEB started, and when FEB occupied the building, the numbers were not as it is today. So we are working with the Department of Public Works to find an alternative accommodation. But in the interim, the list that we have does have a provision that says, should we find an alternative venue, we would be able to leave. And in terms of the reports, we then, in terms of compliance matters, as per the PFMA, we submit our quarterly reports to the ministry. We obviously, these are part of the compliance matters of stress plans, internal audit and risk, which we produce almost every year. And these are also monitored and they are implemented. In terms of the performance information, we have would also be compiling performance information, especially in the light of the fact that AG had raised issues around our performance information. And with these are just generally your stress plan reviewed and others. If I may just skip this one, Chair. Finally, in terms of the one before last, where we have to implement content regulation framework to ensure that whatever classification decision and labeling decision we do, we have, like we've said, we are now on phase two on our online content regulation system. We started now, phase two is attacking games. Remember, in terms of our law, it says we're classifying movies as well as certain publications, including games. So we are now targeting and making sure that phase two is one thing that we are going to be doing in terms of the classification of games. What we are doing this is because we don't want someone to wait or to send something. Any content that they can submit anywhere in the world, they must be able to submit content for classification by FPP. So these are some of the things that we'll be doing. We'll also be maintaining the system so that the system works. We are having a plan in terms of workshopping the system and then making sure that the industry at large is aware of the existence of the system and they're able to view the system. Because with the system, you can always view the content that has been submitted and you are able to track the system in terms of from submission to the classification decision that would have been taken. Of course, then, like we've said, the system's availability for us should always be at 98% at all times, Chairperson. Number five, strategic, it's also about partnerships. Chair, if you look at the work that we do, if you look at it in the ICT fraternity, in the SADC region and in the African continent, we have ICT harmonization protocols. But the one thing that is lacking is that how do we harmonize content? Because if you look at the content that we have, it can come from different countries. Nollywood, it can come from different. But how do we make sure that within the SADC region, there's uniformity in the approach, and there's also the understanding of the content classification mandate? So we have reviewed, we'll be reviewing the stakeholder relations strategy, and then we hope to, you know, to be implementing it with stakeholders in quarter four. We also plan to have a multi-unit distributor engagement, and in each quarter we are going to be having the distributor engagement so that distributors are able to understand where we are, and then we are also able to respond to some of their challenges. We plan again in terms of the film and games tech festivals, because we are attending those in terms of the mandate that we carry, and we would also be participating in the events, which again is also about building our stakeholder metrics, you know, expanding our network, expanding the work that we do so that it is understood. Internationally, we plan to have 7 stakeholder engagement, and some of these are going to be done through the yearly SADC ICT ministers for who are responsible for communications, because there's already that item. So part of it is that content classification as an agenda should be able to then, working with the DOC, working with the ministry, we would be able to do that. We also are a member of INHOPE, which is an international organization that assists in terms of ensuring that whatever online content that is distributed to different to countries, it is aligned to what is acceptable. And at this point, I will then say that we are going to be working to do all these things and with a very limited budget. Over to you, CFO.
Thanks again once, CEO. Yeah, I must emphasize the fact that we do not have sufficient budget, but we try to ensure that we spend the money that has been allocated to us as efficiently and effective as possible. In terms of the medium-term expenditure framework, just move the slide. In terms of the medium expenditure framework, our budget from 17-18 financial year to 18-19 financial year has only increased by 4%. So we had 99.5 million in 17-18 financial year. And in 18-19, our total budget is 103 million. So the increase is only 4%, which is not enough when you actually look at the inflation and to cover the cost of the building that we have, to cover the cost of the staff increase. It's a challenging environment to operate in, but we will try to ensure that we are utilizing our resources as effectively as possible. So in terms of the strategic objective, on SO1, which is the industry compliance, I'm not going to go into detail on what the money is going to be used for, because the CEO has already highlighted in terms of strategic objective one, where we are trying to instill that the industry comply from as far as registering with us and classifying their material. So we have allocated 10.9 million for this strategic objective. And on SO2, we have allocated 5.9 million. This is all about branding our image as FPB to ensure that we are penetrating all the 9 provinces of South Africa so that they get to know the mandate of the FPB, and also to ensure that we educate them in terms of the classification as to what is it that it means and how does it contribute to them. And on SO3 is mostly the admin element of it. This is where we are paying our employees. This is where we are paying the rental of the building that we have, as well as the leases for the fleet that we have, as well as the printers that we are utilizing. And then SO4 is to ensure effective and innovative regulation of the content distributed online. This is what the CEO has already highlighted in terms of making sure that we are moving with time in terms of technology to ensure that, you know, the distributors can be able to classify the content anyway, irrespective of whether we are closed or not, through the utilization of technology. So we have invested 10.4 million in that regard to ensure that we are able to meet the standard that the distributors are also expecting from us. And then on SO5, which is the partnership, we have allocated 2.1 million. This is basically to ensure that as FPB, we are expanding our footprint and we are forging the relationship with other content regulators, so that we are in the same space or same standards. And then the total, as I've already indicated, we have budgeted 103 million. As you know, that is a public finance institution. Our budget is It's on a balanced budget, meaning that the revenue must be equal to the expenditure. So our revenue is the same. It's 103,461. Thank you. I won't even go into detail because I've already highlighted. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. That ends our presentation.
Yeah, thank you very much. Members, that's the presentation. For me, just before we go anyway, if you can turn to slide 11. Are you there? Are you going? Number one, two. Can you see two? On action taken. This thing says review of 2017-18 APP has been undertaken, da-da-da-da-da. Do you want to explain that so that we're clearer? It says a review of 2017-18 APP. And then on slide... you see, most completion now is 18/13. But also, if you go to slide 41 on SO1 and 4. Yeah. And I'm sure you know why I'm raising those things. Members? Question, members? Questions? Van Dam? Sorry. Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Van Dam, and then I'll come that way.
Chair, I just have a quick question or two. Thank you for the presentation. On page 19, I just want to know, I see that rates are going to be enforced in four regions. Why is it four regions? What regions are they? Why not nine provinces? Then, on page 24, it says four outreach activities conducted reaching 400 parents, 1,600 children, and 800 educators. I would like you to give me more information on how you are going to conduct that. And I would also have liked to see you put out what you want to do 2018-19, but how do we compare it with what do we compare it? What did you achieve the previous year? So it doesn't really assist us. And there's almost 57 million people, so you reach with these outreach 2,200. So I'm not very impressed with that. But... I also understand that on page 38 you say that you've got partnerships and stakeholders that also help you carry out the message. But I would also like to know how you measure the actual reach of is there any way that you can measure it? Because if you say, and then also the outreach that you do plan here, I would like to have more information on that. Then on page 39, seven international stakeholders engaged. What do you mean with that? Are the people coming here or are you flying there? Because we are trying to save money for this communications entities. Just want to have more information on that. Thank you very much.
I see in the presentation that there was a period of a year, I think it was, where staff were overpaid. I see that you've entered into repayment agreements with those staff. But did you investigate how that happened? I mean, the person at HR who does the payments every month, did you investigate whether there was any corruption involved or was it just an error? And then I'm also interested in the work, the online work that you're doing. Sorry, I don't remember the page now, but I'd written notes about you doing online inspections, and I can't remember now how many it was. You might remind me, but you've done, I think it was a couple of thousand online inspections. So what are those online inspections? What websites are you inspecting? How do you identify which website must be inspected? And what are you looking for? And then in terms of, this is a question I'm asking the entities that are involved in this. Now, there's the scandal with Cambridge Analytica and how they used personal data on Facebook to advantage Donald Trump's election. So have you engaged with Facebook South Africa? Because that affected a lot of South African Facebook users. Have you been in touch with Facebook South Africa to have any discussions with them about how they intend, with us going into an election, protecting personal data? And then what kind of work are you doing in general in the online space as we go into the election, particularly around things like fake news, things like propaganda bots on Twitter? Have you looked at those kind of threats that are facing the election, and what are you going to do about it?
Thanks, Chair. Mine, I think, will be more clarities and information provision from colleagues over here. 48, I think on slide 19, the raids, law and enforcement, I don't know, maybe where could you be indicative of your hotspot areas, or you just do things for compliance? Because I think what we need to do is to ensure at least there is compliance to law. And I know you may not want to reveal a police plan, but at least for us to understand your work, perhaps you only want to work in KwaZulu-Natal, but you must at least give a report around the country. And then on slide 20, I think it's okay. I see 95% registrations and renewal of license issued within 8 working days. Maybe per province, what could that be? And what does this 95% mean? It could mean you are only issuing 4, so 3, then it's 95%. You know, percentages are good, but they don't indicate a figure that is convincing. So perhaps, and your report are percentages. I wish it could be numbering, you know, to so that there is evidence of work. And page 29, for training and development activities undertaken and evaluated on what? The trainings, because it's undertake training and development activity quarter 1, quarter 2, 3, and 4, or on what, you know. It's like, were we populating slides to have it written there or something? Because if you are specific, you are able to assist us. On slide 39, 7 international stakeholders engaged, then you'll engage 2 other per quarter. Where? You know, because are you going to UK or are you going to Dubai or something? You know, because the purpose, it may be as per the mission and objective or study tour or something. But you know, as a country, we don't work with Israel, example. You know, the other party tried to work with them, and you know, so it can't make them sustainable. So you must be focused. So the issue is, where is this? Thanks.
Okay. Anything, Honorable Machoko?
Chair, well, thank you, DM. Thank you, Department of SCP. Thank you for the neat presentation and understandable presentation as well. Chair, mine is in slide 8. And there's an issue of outsourcing of payroll service. Are you planning to renewing the contract, or it's a new plan to assess the payroll? Also, Chair, the issue of the 13 employees that were getting salaries, the repayment of salaries, 3 to 16 months. I just need just a little clarity. I'm not aware about what's happening to those employees. I just need your elaboration. Thank you, Chair.
Those are the questions. The first question, CEO, I'm sure you understand this too, because the years, I mean the financial year is just dear Makar. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Chair. We'll start with the first one, the one that you raised around 2017-18. It emanates from the recommendation by the committee and the AG. That said to us, even then, our APP was not smart. So what you are saying is that in June already, in this year that has just ended, 2017-18, we started correcting those mistakes from there, so that the current APP that you see is aligned to that which was cleansed, which would have been the 2017-18. So we wanted to make that link that the last two quarters of the 2017-18 financial year, with the assistance of AG, we've cleansed the issue of the smartness of our target, so that in this financial year, it's sorted out. So I know that it doesn't really, because it looks as though we are referring to the current financial year, but using the different financial year. Yeah, but essentially what we are saying is that the last two quarters of the previous financial year, that's where we started cleansing the smartness of our target. And in this current financial year, you will not find what you did find in the previous financial year in the first two quarters of the year. Yeah, that helps. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Chair, let me start with the overpayment. It was a very unfortunate thing that also, as we've indicated, caused a huge commotion among staff members. So the issue was, we had investigated it, it's true. In fact, in our investigation, we conducted an audit over a three-year period. And then we picked up that it was a systems error. The VIP system that you are using could not flag or could not raise issues that, one, if you register an employee, a new employee, on your payroll system, that whilst you have registered them to make a contribution in their medical aid fund as well as their pension fund, that when it was not deducting, it was not informing HR. So people were getting money, whilst FPP was also making contribution on behalf of employees. So it really took some time, because we picked up this at a later stage, and it has since been fixed. And just to also bundle the issue of the payroll, we had said, because of course the HR employees are also those who are involved in the payroll administration. So one of the things that we were able to pick up was that there's also a skills mismatch. We were then planning to say we're going to outsource the payroll whilst we were going to intervene in terms of capacitating them, training. Until then, SARS came to us because we had a meeting with the acting commissioner of SARS and their team to say, look, there's no need to outsource this thing. We can provide training up to whatever level that we can free of charge. So the issue of outsourcing is no longer the issue. The only issue that is now outstanding is to cleanse the total amount. That's why in the contract that we've had, we've reflected that it's 578,000, but it is subject to confirmation because we've got two figures. The figure that is presented by employees and then the figure that is presented by the HR. Now, you see, the HR part of the component of it is one that is not really trusted. So we need someone to come and then say, because I was overpaid by this amount, which meant in terms of my tax, I contributed higher to SARS, how much am I exactly owing FPB without being disadvantaged where I need to pay back the little amount that I got on top of the fact that even my tax bracket had also been affected. So those are some of the things that we're doing. But it is in no way maybe a corrupt, it was a systems error, but it is also an issue where whether or not we have the a capacitated person, hence we're saying with the assistant of SARS, we are able to then capacitate employees. But then again, it doesn't take away the consequence management part of it, because we're still going to go and say, who were the employees that were capturing, but where was the oversight? Because at the level of a capturing, it moves to another stage where a person must do oversight to say, did the person who was supposed to capture things correctly? And those are the things that we are trying to deal with in terms of our consequence management. Honorable Kaba, we do have, and Acting CEO is also going to indicate, we do have hotspots in terms of pirated movies, in terms of movies that get into the country, which would have not been classified. So we do, around Joburg, we do have spots. In fact, we even have small factories where some of these individuals are actually downloading these things so that they sell it to what I would call a black market through the street vendors in our taxi rank and everywhere else. But it would be very difficult to disclose the actual part of it. But we do have, and we work with the law enforcement agencies so that post our intervention, if we're not there, they must be able to interpret this thing and say, look, I've gone to a taxi rank, I have a vendor who's just contravened this part of the legislation. Hence, with our work again with the SAPS, we're also training them, and we're also doing the training in their SAPS colleges so that we don't do training per police station as we go along, so that in terms of our work that we do, it spreads across. So those are some of the things that we do. The Y4 region, part of it is that we are divided into three regions. For instance, the Cape Town Regional Office, when they conduct their raids, they conduct it until the entirety of the Northern Cape. So KZN and all of that, because we are a small entity. We've got three offices. So what we do with our compliance officers, they travel all over the country to do those things. So it's on those bases where we are saying, because they are going to be I think it's 48, we are saying per region, these are the numbers that we are expecting of them. And when we do find these things, we do what we call destructions, where we destroy. But before we destroy, we then do an evaluation of the economic value to the economy, because we must be able to say, this is what is circulating in the black market, this is what is costing the economy. This is what content we are finding. This is an adult content that we are finding. This is the content that comes from, for instance, Pakistan. It would not have been reached. It would not have reached FEB. The rates are also telling us something which we are able to pick up, that a movie that is yet to be released in our cinemas through our distributors, we tend to find them on the street. We do find movies that are 6 months ahead of time. I don't know how they do it. So in terms of our work, we need to be very vigilant. And again, it has now become very dangerous, as we are saying, we work with, because we are protected by law in terms of how do we work with SAPS. Because when you get to a taxi rank, for instance, and I want to mention, people then complain and scream, why are you doing this? Because this man has not stolen anything from anyone. He's just doing this thing. It's his livelihood. So there's a lot of education, public education and awareness that we have to create. That's why we work with the Google of this world, to work with and all these other companies, including, by the way, our own mobile operators who are now distributing content online, your Vodacoms and your Celsius of this world. So, because it also assists in terms of saying, what is our mandate guiding us to do? Do people actually understand the role that we play? And as they move from physical to online, we need to be following them. I would also ask my colleagues to answer some of the questions.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, colleagues from the DOC. I just want to expand on the four regions further. The four regional offices are assigned provinces. So each region has got three provinces to manage. So that is why we're saying four regional offices. So in essence, all nine provinces are covered. And on the, what does the percentages mean in terms of licensing? Our annual numbers or the trends indicate that we register about 6,000 titles. So when we say we want to release classification decisions within 90% of the classification decisions, it's because within the 8 days turnaround times, we do not always meet the 8 days because of the quality assurance that needs to be done onto our titles. So that we accommodate that quality assurance process, we cannot tie ourselves to 100% because it is not always possible. The value chain from submission to the release of decisions, there's a lot of work that happens there. But in terms of our numbers, we have 6,000 plus on an annual basis that we do classify. And there was an issue around online space. What is it that we're doing on the online space? We have content now that has migrated from the physical platform to the online platform. You have stores now, online stores, that are selling the very DVD that you buy at an ordinary shop. So those are the platforms that we regulate. Your Take a Lot, all the online stores where you find a DVD. What we do is we have a team of compliance monitors that go into that online space to do inspections to see if anyone or everyone who has an online store has actually registered with the FPB, and they also know the regulatory requirements that they have to adhere to. I hope that assists. And on the protection of personal data and the threats to the election, that is not covered in our work, but it is a matter that we can engage into because it has to do with the online work that we are doing. It's a matter that we will consider. On the parents and educators, let me speak particularly to the issue of educator engagements. There is a very strict protocol between what you can do in the basic education space. So what we do is we partner with the Department of Education and Basic Education, but our partnership still needs to be tightened because in the provincial offices there is a resistance from schools because they are expected to use the learning and teaching time effectively without any disruptions. What we have managed to do in the past financial year is to partner with private schools mostly because they are flexible and they do have the capacity and the ability to meet us halfway in terms of our engagements. what we have planned to do at a level of the executive and council is to engage Department of Basic Education and formalize our relations so that we are able to then be given the space to interact with learners and teachers. We do have, for example, in the KZN district, there is some movement that we are making there because the district office and the people in charge have given us their holidays, for example, to access learners and be able to educate them. On national days, like your Safety Internet Day, that is where we become more effective, where schools are open to us coming in and engaging them. So that is the response that we can give them. On there's a slide, I think, on training and development. That is what our HR unit is targets to capacitate our employees. That is the training that relates to development of individuals on a personal level and on a career level. That is what it relates to. International travel is for us going to do study tours and also hosting other countries into our own. We hosted Kenya in the last two financial years. We have been hosted in Mauritius by Google to go and learn about the ICT space. So it's both outside the country and also us hosting international people to our own. Thank you.
On international members, we are not saying we are going to be traveling. There are opportunities that are offered through ministerial visit and all of that. For instance, annually there's an SADC ICT meetings for ministers. Our biggest concern is that with the online space where content is available everywhere, one of the issues that we are saying is that how do you respond as a continent and that respond in terms of the content classification driven by South Africa? Because I do not need to be in Swaziland, for instance. I can't be limited in terms of the online space. But what we are saying is that working with the DOC, working with the DGPS as well, because one of the things that we have done is that we are preparing with the DGPS in terms of the ITU meeting, which is going to be in Durban as well as in Dubai. The issue around the child protection online is one of the first things that even the ITU is taking notice of. And then it falls squarely on our shoulders because the mandate really in terms of the constitution is about that. How do we protect children from content that would not have been classified, whether it's online and on physical space? So when we talk about international engagements, we also have industry engagements, conferences that are called by different role players in the country and outside of the country. So it's those things that are helping us to make sure that we drive the point home about the relevance of our work, and also to make sure that we learn lessons, as my colleague was saying, from other like-minded bodies. You know, what can we learn from Namibia? What can they learn from us, having been in the space longer than some of them? Because what we're wanting to have a situation where in the ICT space, I can tell you, the telecos, the postal sector, as well as the broadcasting space, there's even a SADC and even an African Union position on the ICT stroke broadcasting postal or telecoms harmonization of what should African countries be doing. And we want to have the same approach to say, what should African countries be doing around issues of content classification? Because remember, we can't censor, but what we need to do is to offer advice to make sure that the content that is in whatever platform is suitable for consumption by people of certain ages, and that's the approach that we are having. Thanks.
Chairperson, I just want to make reference to the baseline. I think we take the comment that we should have put the baseline so that the numbers make sense. Because the baseline is our annual report. So as soon as our annual report is done, then the baseline will be clearer. But we have the figures. Thank you.
Looks like we are okay. We are reserving other issues for the oversight. DM?
Chairperson, thank you very much, and to the members of the Portfolio Committee. We have noted all the issues that members were raising, and we think systematically there will be areas where we are able to come back and give you feedback. I think what is very critical to us, Chair, is to stabilize management, and I think the acting CEO has also indicated our timelines in as far as filling of vacancies and all those things are concerned. I think one of the things that will also be very close to our hearts will be the finalization of classification guidelines, including the regulations, issues around online content and over-the-top services classification, and there will be liaising with DTPS. Chair, of course there are lessons learned from Inxeba, and that's why we also think that as we deal with the finalization of guidelines and regulations, we'll also take care of the cultural aspects that goes with some of these things. So I think we'll be looking at some of those things. It's critical, Chair, between us and DTPS to coordinate our entities accordingly and make sure that we tighten the regulatory framework, because some of our activities overlap, so that at the end we are able to assist our communities to benefit out of this digital economy, but also make sure that the element of social cohesion is also not compromised, and even ready our people for the fourth industrial revolution in the context of the DOC and the DTPS as we operate with our entities. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Members, thank you very much. And thanks, FPB. Tomorrow, members, is SABC and MDDA. I'm not sure if members are still comfortable with starting at 10. Is 10 o'clock still fine? Can we start at 9:30? Can we, SABC, can they be here at 9:30? Can they be here at 9:30? Let's start at 9:30 tomorrow at the end. Start at 9:30 so that we finish early. It's only two entities, but with them will take a longer time, I think, because of the issues. Thanks, DM, and thanks, FPB. See you in... is your office... Are your offices in Johannesburg? Centurion. See you in Centurion. Yes, that's the end of the meeting. It's adjourned. See you tomorrow. Yeah.